It is Pentecost, and this is the end of the Easter season. We got one more time to give those double alleluias when we get the dismissal later today. So, today on this Pentecost of 2019, a year of our Lord, we're celebrating not only Pentecost, but 200 years of faith, friendship, and fellowship, and I'll get into that in just a bit. So the historical event that we just heard about is the Pentecost story, and it is our story. Something extraordinary happened on that day, 50 days after the resurrection. And what happened left thousands of people asking the question, what does this mean? And almost 2,000 years later, the question is still relevant. What does it mean? Well, let's start with the basics and work our way from there. Pentecost means 50 days. Pentecost is one of three pilgrimage feasts of the Israelites and therefore of the Jews. When Luke wrote in the book of Acts, when the day of Pentecost had come, he was talking about the Jewish festival in addition to our Christian holy day. In Deuteronomy, the Israelites were told, three times a year you shall make a pilgrimage to the holy place of the Lord. This, of course, means Jerusalem. So the first pilgrimage is for the Passover. The second pilgrimage occurs 50 days later. And quite frankly, I've drawn a blank on what the third is. But the first two are the ones that we really want to consider today. For the Israelites and for the Jews in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection, Pentecost was a harvest festival, a celebratory offering of the first fruits, and it's also associated with the giving of the law to the Israelites in the wilderness. So this is why all of those devout Jews from every nation were in Jerusalem that day to hear the disciples proclaim the gospel in so many different languages. And let's be clear, speaking in those foreign languages or being heard in those languages was not a gimmick. That's not how the Holy Spirit operates. God is at work in Jerusalem, first in the place where the disciples had gathered that day, and then out in the streets where the disciples were sort of driven to be. Called, perhaps. So the Holy Spirit comes in power and bestows that power on the followers of Jesus, equipping them to communicate about Jesus to all people in all the languages that were needed that day. The Spirit fills them and sends them out into the street, prompting them to engage in prophecy. So what does that mean? Prophecy is more than just predicting future events. Prophecy involves naming the places and the ways in which God intervenes or acts in the world. It involves identifying God's salvation at work. And I'm fascinated by the way that Peter sets about the task of prophesying for the people on the streets in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. These people were confounded by the extraordinary results of the Spirit in action, asking, what does it mean? Peter demonstrates how to prophesy by drawing on the resources of the past, turning to scriptural prophecy. He begins preaching to the gathered crowd, citing an oracle from the prophet Joel. Peter speaks in the present tense, interpreting for the people there the events of the day. Peter's prophecy interprets the present time for them in the light of the gospel. Peter's act of prophecy shows how the work of the Holy Spirit on that day in Jerusalem connected everyone there to God and to God's purpose. Peter's preaching also interprets the very community created by the Spirit. When that mighty wind sweeps tongues of flames dancing around the upper room, the Spirit comes to mark that group as the church, as God's community. And the power of that day gives the followers of Jesus the ability to act as God's agents in the world, preaching the gospel, the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, baptizing and making disciples and sending them out to do the same. And as I said, 2,000 years later, we're still asking, what does this mean? What does it mean to us today that the Spirit seals us as Christ's own, gives us gifts to proclaim the gospel in ways that continue to change the world? What does it mean that it creates among us a blessed, transformed, and transforming community of Jesus followers? Rowan Williams, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury and leader of the Anglican Communion in the early years of this century, wrote, "We are so used to the rhetoric of the church as the Spirit-filled community that we have frequently lost the sense of the church as a sign of the Spirit rather than just its domicile." This weekend, we're celebrating almost 2,000 years of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church as a sign of the Holy Spirit, sent to teach, empower, and transform Christians to carry out God's gospel mission to the ends of the earth. And this weekend, we are celebrating 200 years of St. Paul's as a sign of the Holy Spirit in the upstate. And this weekend, we celebrate 121 years of Holy Trinity as a sign of the Holy Spirit here in Clemson. The work of the Holy Spirit, of which we are a sign, is both timeless and rooted in history. And that work began on that long ago Pentecost, and it continues today, situated in our own two locations of sign that work today. A couple of weeks ago, I was watering newly planted trees in the churchyard at St. Paul's. I spent about an hour filling 5-gallon drip buckets and hauling them to water 16 trees around the churchyard. It's a great workout. At one point, I was taking a rest, sitting on a low wall next to the standpipe right behind the church. And I noticed that the gravestone nearest me marked the resting place of the Reverend Andrew Cornish, one of the early rectors of St. Paul's. I've since done a little bit of research about Mr. Cornish. It's been written of him, "He was a man of fine intellect and high culture, a faithful, earnest worker in his church, and greatly beloved and honored by all who knew him." As I watched my 5-gallon drip bucket fill up, I indulged in a flight of fancy in that moment, imagining a conversation with Mr. Cornish, wondering what he would have thought of the present priest in charge at St. Paul's. I mean, there have been a lot of changes in the world and in the church. I wonder what he would have thought of this world that we live in. I wonder what he would have thought of this Episcopal church that we belong to. The very trees that shaded Mr. Cornish in that same churchyard in the mid-19th century have grown tall, and many of them have succumbed to the ravages of time, which is why we've planted 16 trees. Those trees and that churchyard, that bell tower, the community that gathered there for worship have been signs of the presence and work of the Holy Spirit for 2 centuries. And we've planted new trees there, buried so many beloved friends, gathered new members of the community, and have even replaced the bell in the bell tower. But we are still signs of that same Spirit working in an ever-changing world. And we've lived that same pattern here at Holy Trinity, too. We're a sign right here of the work that God has done and continues to do here in this place. We've built buildings in which to worship God and to grow in faith. We've built ministries to families in Clemson and in far-off Haiti. We've planted gardens that beautify and feed our community. And we provided sacred space, pastoral presence, fellowship, and food to generations of Clemson students. And we will continue to do all these things, and here's the exciting part, and more. Very soon, we will change the very landscape of our holy hill. On the other side of that building over there, we're going to create a gateway to Clemson for our community. Imagine the ways that the Holy Spirit might enliven us and empower us to be signs of God's love in this town when we are sent out to love and serve the Lord. Imagine how we might be transformed for sharing in God's gospel mission in the whole wide world. These are exciting times for us. We are going to do new things with God's help, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own, so we pray. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Send us forth rejoicing in the power of your Spirit, and we shall be created, made a new people, to be a sign of your love for all people, no matter who they are, no matter whose they are, no matter who they love, no matter what. Send us forth to show your love to all people. And you will renew the face of the earth. Amen.